This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, Rabbi Isai. Parshas Va'era. Parshas Va'era, actually tonight's shiur is, we usually don't do this on the air, but we're going to make an exception. Tonight's shiur is dedicated in honor of the chasna tonight of Luzer and Rivki Zicherman, the sister of Gedalia Schwartz, who is very much marbits the shiurim. So lechvoidai, we want to be mavarech lechasana kala, the shvizoicha livnois bayis nemam b'Yisrael, binyan adayad. Okay, so Parshas Va'era. We know Parshas Va'era has the majority of the makos. 7 out of the 10 makos are in Parshas Va'era. What are the makos? So we look in the Haggadah. We know the Haggadah comes from the Mechilta. So the Haggadah is not just something that we say over the night of the Seder, but it's Tar Shabbat Peh, it's the Mechilta, it's the Medrash on Sefer Shemois. The Haggadah says as follows, Elu Eser Makos. These are the 10 makos Shehevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ala Mitzrim B'Mitzrayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought on the Mitzrim in Mitzrayim. Ve'eluhin, Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, Arayv, Dever, Shchin, Barad, Arbe, Choshech, Makas B'Choyrois. These are the 10 makos. So the Braisa continues. Rabbi Yehuda, Yonoisin, Bahem Simonim. Rabbi Yehuda would give a mnemonic. He would give a simon to help remember the makos. What's the mnemonic? The famous mnemonic of Rabbi Yehuda. Tetzach, Adash, Biachav. Okay, that was the mnemonic of Rabbi Yehuda. Now we can remember it. We will never forget it because we have this very easy mnemonic to help us remember. So tonight we're going to be examining a lot of the comments of the Rishonim. There are many Perushim on the Haggadah. Probably there are more Perushim on the Haggadah than any other sefer in the gamut of Jewish literature. And there are a lot of Rishonim on the Haggadah. So there's a Haggadah, you know, the Haggadah of Taras Chaim, with the parish of all the Rishonim. So we're going to be examining a lot of the Rishonim. And let's start with the Perush, which is Miyuchas L'Rashi. Rashi lived in the calendar, the Jewish calendar dates 4800 to 4865. So Rashi asks in Tamer, Ma bo Rabbi Yehuda Lamdeinu, what's Rabbi Yehuda coming to teach me? Zil Kari Beiravhu. I mean, you need a mnemonic to help you remember the makos. I think every little two-year-old knows the makos. They can't speak yet, but they could sing Uncle Moshe makos. It's not rocket science what the makos are. You know, you need a mnemonic if, Chveis, you want to remember, please excuse my dear Aunt Sally, right? What is it? PENDAS, which stands for? Who remembers, right? Parentheses, exponents. There you go. Okay, so the mnemonic helps to remember something which is difficult. But Rashi asks, why does Rabbi Yehuda need a mnemonic to help you remember the makos? It's not that complicated. In fact, in the Perush, called the Perush Kadmoin, Perush Kadmoin is basically a reshine that we don't know who it is. It's something like Shita Loinoi Dalami. It was written somewhere between the years 4800 to 5000, you know, in the times of Rishonim. And he asks, you know, why in the world do we need a simon? Look in the psukim, look in the chumash, you know, open up the chumash. It says dam, tzvardeya, kinim. You know, it's not that complicated. Just open up your chumash. More than that, you don't have to open up your chumash. We just said what they are. Dam, tzvardeya, kinim, arev, dever. So open up your Haggadah. Like, why would you need to give a mnemonic? It's in the chumash. It's in the Haggadah. And furthermore, the Tosfos Rid is Rabbi Shaya Detrani. The Tosfos Rid asks, I mean, it's not, you know, if you make a mnemonic where you're creating a word that makes sense, so that's a good mnemonic. I won't remember the makos, but I'll remember this word. But if you're making up gibberish, detzach, adash, b'achem, anybody with a half a mind could take the first letter of every word and create this mnemonic. It's not even a word. It's unintelligible. So what exactly is the big chachma of Rabbi Yehuda that he made the mnemonic of detzach, adash, b'achem? So you'd be surprised that there are literally dozens of perushim in what the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda is by creating a mnemonic of for these makos. Let's begin with Rashi. Rashi says something incredible. Rashi says like this. If you look in Tehillim, in Parak Kufhei in Tehillim is a parak that speaks about the events that transpired in Mitzrayim, and it talks about the makos. And if you look at the way David HaMelech describes the makos, you'll notice he says it out of order. The order in Tehillim is not the order we have in the Chumash. So first David HaMelech says, Choshech. Then David HaMelech says, Dam. Then David HaMelech says, Tzvardeya. So says Rashi, since David HaMelech says it in a different order, you would think that the order in the Chumash is not the correct order. You would think the correct order of the Makos is the way David HaMelech says. You say, why would I think that? Why would I think David HaMelech has a better order than the order in the Chumash? Says Rashi, because the Chumash, we always have a rule, in Muktam Ucher Batayra. So you would think the order in the Chumash is not the correct order. So Behuda is coming to say, don't make a mistake and think the order in Tehillim is the correct order. No. The order of the Chumash is the correct order. And David HaMelech had Cheshbon, is why David put it out of order. In fact, if you look in the Rashbats, look at number 6. Reb Shimon Bar Tzemach of Duran. He lived from the year 5121 to 5204. Make yourself comfortable, okay? 5121 to 5204 says the Rashbats. There are actually two prakim in Tehillim that talk about the Makos. There's Perek Ayin Ches. Ayin Ches has the order the following way. You have Dam, you have Oroiv, you have Tzfardeya, you have Arbe, you have Barod, you have Dever, and you have Makos B'chayra. So in Perek Ayin Ches, it's out of order. Then David HaMelech again in Tehillim, in Mizmar Kuf Hei, he says, like we mentioned from the Pshat, that's Michas L'Rashi, Choyshech, Dam, Tzfardeya, Oroiv. So again, says Rashbats, and says Rashi, since in Tehillim it's in a different order, so you would think the order of the Tehillim is the correct order. Kamash Malan, Rabbi Huda, no, the order of the Chumash is the correct order, and Rabbi Huda teaches this to me with the mnemonic of the Tzach Adash B'Achav. So you'll ask, and what's the Nafkamina, how it happened? Whether like it says in the Chumash or like it says in Tehillim. Either way, my nafkamina, why is it important that Rav Yehuda is letting me know the correct order? Who cares how it, they all happened, all 10 happened. Why does it matter how it happened? So it's an amazing thing. You look in the Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, you have the Rambam's Nusach of the Haggadah. Underneath the Rambam's Nusach of the Haggadah, like you have under every Rambam, you have Hagois Maimonios, the Hagois Maimonios, yeah? Nahagois Maimonios on the Rambam, on the Haggadah, he says that like the Rashi and like the Rashbats, that the reason Rabbi Yehuda gave simanim is to say that the order in the Chumash is correct and not the order in Tehillim. And Lamai Nafkam, you know, he says something very interesting, that we know that when somebody would go up to Yerushalayim to bring Bikurim, he would say the Parsha of Arami Oyved Avi. And as part of the Parsha of Rami Ovid Avi, you would recite the Makos. So in what order should you recite the Makos? Should you recite it like it's in the Chumash, or should you recite it like it's in Tehillim? So the Chiddush of Yehuda is not just, you know, FYI, it happened like it happened in the Chumash, but Lahalacha, when you're saying it over, when you're maybe Bikurim, you need to say it over in the order of the Chumash. It's actually in the Masifta Haggadah, in the Perush, Beis HaOitzar, they ask, since when do the Mevi Bikurim have to say the Makos? They have to say Arami Ovidovi, but you don't have to say the Makos. But it comes out a very big chiddush, according to that Gois Maimonides, that they need to say over Mamish all the details of what happened in Mitzrayim. Okay, so that's the first answer for tonight. What's the chiddush of Rabbi Huda? That the order in Tehillim is not the correct order. The order in the Chumash is the correct order. Okay, answer number 2. There's a Gemara Menachos Tzadik Vav. You ready for this? The Gemara says like this. There are two breads in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash. You have the Shtei HaLechem that was brought on Shavuos, and you have the Lechem upon him. How big are the Shtei HaLechem? They're 7 tfachim long, 4 tfachim wide, and the horns of the Shtei HaLechem are 4 fingers. 7, 4, 4. You got it? 7, 4, 4. And what about the Lechem upon him? They're 10 tfachim long, 5 tfachim wide, and the horns are 7. 10, 5, 7. Oh, says Rabbi Huda, you're going to get confused. Rabbi Huda, Oimer, Shaloi Tites, so you don't make a mistake. Zadad Yahaz. That the Lechem, the Shtei Alechem is Zadad, 7, 4, 4. And the Lechem upon him is Yahaz, 10, 5, and 7. So says Rabbi Huda Bar Yakar, also one of the Rishonim, who lived in the last century of the 5th millennium, meaning somewhere in the year 4900s. Rabbi Huda Bar Yakar says, so what do we see from here? That Rabbi Huda's practice in Shas was to give mnemonics. This was a derech of Rabbi Huda. This is not like Rabbi Huda's trying to tell me a chiddush. It was, Rabbi Huda was ragel b'kach. This is Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda's l'shitase. Rabbi Huda likes to find mnemonics. That's the derech, that's his mahalach in learning. So Rabbi Huda, even though Rabbi Huda Bar Yakar says It's much easier to get confused with the measurements of the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem HaPonim than to forget what the Makos are. But nevertheless, this was the Derech of Rabbi Yehuda in general. This is the second approach. That this was Rabbi Yehuda's Derech. Third approach. You ever go, you go to a shir, and the rabbi is talking, and you come out, well, how was the shir? It was amazing! And what did he say? Not quite sure exactly, I don't really remember, but it was good at the time. Why? Because sometimes if something's long-winded, you don't remember anything. So the Gemara tells us in the Masechta Pesachim and Daf Gimel, La'olam yishana adam es tamidav derech ketzara. Be short, you know, short and to the point. When you teach something, the Gemara says, "Kad Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Ba'Ami La Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Mishum Rameir La Oylam Yishane Adam La Talmidai Derech Kitzara." You should always teach your children something bekitzer. Your Talmidim something bekitzer. This way they remember it. This way they can listen to it. Otherwise, you know, it gets a little bit cumbersome. So therefore, says the Ravon says that Rabbi Yehuda gave a simin because when he taught his Talmidim the Makos, he wouldn't say Dam Tzvardeya Kinim Arev Dever. He would actually just give it a manik. He would give it a manik. He said, Tzachadash Riachav. Why? Not so that you don't forget. We're not worried you're going to forget. It's just as short as you can make the lesson, the shorter the better. Not the longer the better. The shorter the better. So if Rabbi Yehuda had a way to shorten what he was going to teach, that was considered a more effective way of teaching. That is the third approach, and consistent with the Gemara Pesachim Daf Gimel, La'olam yishane adam le'talmidai derech kitzara. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, here's an amazing one, the fourth Pshan Rabbi Yehuda. Hashem comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem tells Moshe, Moshe, bring the Makos. So Moshe said, bring the Makos? Yeah, what are the Makos? First you're going to turn all the water in Egypt into blood. So Moshe said, how in the world am I going to do that? Hashem says, wait. Then Hashem says, I want you to make frogs proliferate all over Egypt. So Moshe says, how am I going to do that? Then you're going to turn all the earth into lice. So Moshe, you know, Ribbono Shel Olam, give me a job I could, you know, a shear I could give, but the makos, this is not for me. So Hashem says the Medrash, look in number 13, Shmois Rabba, Parsha Ches Ois Gimel, that the mate of Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe, Ves ha-mate hazeh tikach biyadecha, take this mate. The mate was 40 sa. Now that's very heavy, because 40 sa is, you know, is a mikvah is 40 sa. And it was made out of sanpurinoin. Very heavy, dense stone. The Eser Makos Chakukos Alav. The 10 Makos were written on the stone. And they were written, not Noitrikoin, as an amanik. The Tzach Adash Biachav. Amar Layakadosh Baruch Hu. With this stick, you're going to bring the Makos. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu had no idea how to bring the Makos. Hashem said, take the stick. The stick has all the information. You're going to wave the stick. You're going to hold up the stick. You're going to use the stick. The stick's going to accomplish everything. So says Rashi in another pshat, what Rabbi Yehuda was saying, Rabbi Yehuda's not giving a mnemonic. Rabbi Yehuda is telling you how the Makos were brought. Rabbi Yehuda, Hayanoisin Simon, Rabbi Yehuda is trying to explain how Moshe brought the Makos. He brought the Makos with this noitrikon, with this mnemonic that it set on the mate by waving. Leaving this mate, Moshe Rabbeinu was successful in bringing the Makos. Okay, that's what Rashi says. That's what the Avudraham says. Comes the Vilna Goyin in his Perush on the Haggadah, and the Goyin says, incredibly, that this is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, but it's actually a Machlokes Tanoim. The Gra reads the Haggadah like a Braisa. Meaning the Braisa says like this, Eilu Eser Makos Shehivi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzrim B'Mitzrayim. What are they? So I'll ask you, Kasha, because according to Rashi and according to Avodraham, Rabbi Yehuda is saying like a random idea. By the way, you know how Moshe brought the Makos? I'm just telling you a non sequitur, a random idea. On Moshe's mat, it said the Tzachadash Biachav. What prompted that comment to Rabbi Yehuda? The answer is Machloikis. The Tanakhama argues on Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakhama holds, they're not arguing about the Makos, they're arguing what it said on Moshe's Matah. The Tanakhama holds that on Moshe's Matah it said, Dam Tzvardeya Akinim Oroib Devershkin Bar Arba Choshech. Comes Rabbi Yehuda, no, it didn't say the Gans Megillah on Moshe's Matah. On Moshe's Matah it just said the Neutrika in the Nemanik of the Tzach Hadash Biachav. That's the Vilna Gaon.
Was he, Rabbi Yehuda, no, said, the Eibush to put it on the stick, not what happened to Rabbi Yehuda?
What did it have to do with Rabbi Yehuda?
Rabbi Huda. He didn't give those.
You mean Rabbi Huda wasn't there?
He wasn't there. Hashem put it on the stick a couple of years before he was born, even. So what do you mean? He would know.
You know Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda had his ways of knowing things. Rabbi Huda just
the one
knew.
That gave it. According to this, the Agoda, we say he's the one that gave the simonim.
He's telling us what it said on the stick. How did he know? By the way, where did Moshe get the stick from? Where did the stick come from? Whose stick was it? From who? And before Yisrael. Who was the last one to have it before Moshe? And before? And before Yosef? Yaakov. And who's Yaakov? Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is Nitzutz Shel Yaakov Avinu. So who would know better what it said on the stick than Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi? I mean, this is his stick. This is his stick. You know, he's telling you, I saw Nasi, the Megamukha says, Nitzutz Shel Yaakov Avinu. That's why Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis. That's why Rabbi Yehuda and Gemara Ksubas came back to make Kiddush Friday night. There are many comparisons. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi lived 17 years in Tzipori, Vayichi Yaakov in Mitzrayim, 17 years. So Rabbi Yehuda's saying, it was my stick, I'm telling you what it said. It only said the Tzachadash. From, he says, you know, Dach Tzachmir, it only said the Tzachadash B'achab. That was only L'chvoidoy, on the spot, okay? No, okay. However, the Chai Adam argues on the Goin. The Chai Adam wrote a Haggadah. Chai Adam, Rabbi Avram Danzig, wrote a Haggadah. And the Chai Adam says that it could be that even the Tanna Kamma holds, not like the Goin says, that the Tanna Kamma holds, it said, Dam Sardei Akinam Arav Devershtin, on the stick. The Tanna Kamma could hold like this. Look at number 17. We know earlier in the Haggadah, it says, Davar Acher B'yad Chazaka Shtayim, it was right in it to Yashtayim, of Maragadol Shtayim, Oysam Oysam Shtayim Shtayim. The Tanna Kamma holds that the mnemonic is not a three-part mnemonic. The Tzach, three. Adash, three. Ba'achav, three and one. The Tanna Kamma holds, not that it's a Dam Tzardei Akinim Arayv. Tanna Kamma holds that the mnemonic was Datz, Cha. In other words, the mnemonic is 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. Shtayim, 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 Shtayim. Rabbi Yehuda holds the mnemonic is 3, 3, and 3. Tanna Kamma holds the mnemonic is 2. That's how the Chai Adam learns the Machlokes is. But this is all in the Shita of Rashi and the Avudraham, that the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda was that this is how Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Makos with this mnemonic that it said on the stick. Okay, we move on, Rabbeisai, to the fifth Mahalach. And what the Pshat in the Tzach Hadash B'Achav is, this is the Pshat of the Rashbam, Rav Shmuel Bar Meir. Who's Rav Shmuel Bar Meir? The grandson of Rashi. He lived from 4840 to 4920. Says the Rashbam, very interesting pshat. Says the Rashbam, Rabbi Yehuda is breaking up the Makos into three because he's trying to demonstrate and categorize that there are three types of Makos. The first three Makos, Dam, Tzfardei, and Kinim, were Ba'aretz. They were in the earth. The blood was the water in the earth. The Tzfardei, the water in the earth. The Kinim, the earth. That's Eretz. Adash are Makos Mikriyos. Now, what are Mikriyos? Happenings. So in the Perush on the bottom of the Rashbam, they explain that Mikriyos means these are all things that could happen naturally. So for example, there could be wild animals naturally. A Devra, there could be plague naturally. Shchin, there could be boils naturally. So Mikriyos, these are, obviously it was supernatural, but these are things that could happen. And then finally, Be'achav are those makas that happened in the air. Barod was in the air. The Arba were flying in the air. The Choshech was the atmosphere. So the Rabbi Yehuda's Chiddush is not to give you a mnemonic to help you remember the makas, but he wants you to recognize that there are three types of makas. Ba'aretz, Be'teva, that could be Be'teva, and Be'avir. That's the pshat of the Rashbam. That is the pshat of the Archos Chaim. Who wrote the Archos Chaim? Rabbi Aaron HaKoyen Miluniel, one of the Rishonim. Okay. That's number five. Here we go, number six. And this is something we must have said over the years, that there's another reason why Rabbi Yehuda breaks it up into three. And that is, if you notice, there's a pattern in the Makos. Dam, Hashem says, go to the Nile and tell Paroi that there's going to be blood. Then, Tzfardea, Boyel Paroi. Kinim? Hashem brought Kinim. No warning. Then, Aroiv, go, Paroi's going to be by the Nile. Dever, go tell Paroi. Shchin, just came, no warning. Farad, warn Parai. Arba, warn Parai. Choshech, no warning. And then finally, Makas Chazar's warning. So we see there's a pattern. Warning, warning, bam. Warning, warning, bam. Warning, warning, bam. Rabbi Yehuda groups the Makas in this order to teach that there was a set. Warning, warning, bam. Says the Ravan, says the Rabbeinu Bachaye, from the pattern of the Makos, Chazal learn a halacha. That if you warn somebody not to do Naveir and you gave him Malkus, and you warn somebody again not to do Naveir and you give him Malkus the third time, you don't have to warn him anymore. Mehechite, see, why don't you have to warn him the third time? You learn it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem warned once, he warned twice, and the third time already, you know, once you're warned twice, you have to learn your lesson. So that's the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda, that the makos came in a certain pattern. Warning, warning, and then no warning. So the kasha, the Rishonim ask, and what about makos b'chayrois? Why is makos b'chayrois in the third group? Because makos b'chayrois, there was a warning. So the Archos Chaim says, makos b'chayrois couldn't find the shidduch, so we had to put him somewhere, so we put him in the fourth group. That's how you solve the shidduch crisis. You put him there, okay? The Ravon says, the Kalbai also says there was no zivug for Makas Bechara, so we had nowhere to put it. And Rabbeinu Bechayi says the pattern started all over again. Okay, that is Mahalach number 6. Mahalach number 7, the Avudraham. Avudraham says something very interesting. First three Makas, who did the Makas? The Fradam, they had to hit the water. Moshe couldn't hit the water saved him. Tzfardeya, he had to hit the water. Moshe couldn't do it. Third Makkah had to hit the earth. Moshe couldn't do it. The earth saved him by the mitzvah. So Aaron did the first three Makkahs. The next three, Adash, says Avodraham. Moshe Rabbeinu did Adash. Arav Devran Shchin, Moshe did. And the final four, Barad, Arbe, Choshech, Makkahs, Bechoyrois, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So in order to categorize, the first three were Aaron, the next three were Moshe, the last four were HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Yehuda gives the simon of the Tzach, Adash Biachav. Okay, that's Mahalach number 7. Who wants to hear another Mahalach? Sound very excited, okay. Okay, good. The Rashbats says there's a different categorization. That actually the first three Makos, the first three were done by Aaron. That Avudraham said already. Says the Rashbats, the Be'ach were Moshe. Barad, Arba, Choshech were Moshe. The last three, except for Makos Bechoyrois, were Moshe. And the middle three were HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which middle three? Arav, Dever, Benachin. Arav, Dever, and Makos Bechoyrois were all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why were they HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because it only says by three Makos that they're going to be by the Mitzrim and they're not going to be by the Yidden. It says it by Arav, that of a Hifla Hashem. It says by Dever, the Hifla Hashem. And it says by Makos Bechoyrois, the Hifla Hashem. Only Hashem could distinguish. Aaron could bring a Makkah, but can't distinguish between Yidden and Goyim. Moshe could bring a Makkah. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam could be Mafla. He was Mafla by Arav, Dever, and Makos Bechoyrois. So the truth is, says the Rashbats, Aaron had control over the Aretz. Moshe had control over the Shemayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has control over differentiation. Makashchin, they need, who brought Makashchin? All three. Aaron took the soot, the Piach HaKivshin, because it's earth. Aaron is an earth man. Moshe threw it in the air, because Moshe is an air man. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mafla, because Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who differentiates between the Mitzrim and the Yidden. So the approach of the Rashbats is different than Avodraham. Avodraham says first three Aaron, next three Moshe, last four HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rashbats says no, first three Aaron, Moshe did Barad, Moshe did Arba, Moshe did Choshech, and the Ribbono Shel Olam did Arav, Dever, and Makos Bechoyrois. Okay. And finally, let's take a look at number 26. Number 26 is Oyem V'Noira. Everyone have a pen? I hope everyone has a pen. You have a pen? Okay, first I'm going to give you the winning lottery numbers. Everyone write her down. Now you have a pen, huh? Okay. Take a look at number 26, the Hagois Maimonis. That there's an incredible piece of information that Rabbi Yehuda is teaching by giving the mnemonic, the Tzach Hadash B'Achav. Because let's take the third of each set, okay? Kinim, right? Dance or their kinim. Right, kinim. Kaf, nun, mem. Okay? Then let's take the third, adash, arevdar, shchin, then write shchin. Shin, ches, nun. Then take the third of the next set, choshech. Ches, shin, chaf. So you have kinim, shchin, choshech. Now read it up to down. The first column will read. What? Choshech. The second column will read. Shchin. The third column will read. Kinim. So if you take the third of each set, you write it on top of each other, and you read it up, so you get Choshech, you get Shchin, and you get Kinim. Says the Hagois Maimonis, that we learn from here, that each time the third Makkah came, it incorporated each third Makkah. Kinim had Shchin and Choshech. Shchin had Kinim and Choshech. Choshech had Kinim and Shchin. The only difference is, when it was Kinim, it was predominantly Kinim with a little bit of Shchin and Choshech mixed in. When it was Shchin, it was Kinim and Choshech with a middle. It was Shchin primarily with Kinim and Choshech mixed in. And when it was Choshech with the other two mixed in. In order to teach this side, says Hagois Maimonis, Rabbi Yehuda gave a siman, the Tzach Hadash B'Achav, that you could actually make this permutation of the Makkos, that the third and final Makkah. And this might fit in with what we said earlier. The third Makkah was just a bam. It wasn't to teach a lesson. The first Makkah was to teach a lesson. That's why he was warned. The second Makkah was to teach a lesson. The third Makkah was just to punish. So each time the third Makkah incorporated all the thirds. That is approach number 9. You ready for approach number 10? We're just getting started. Okay. Approach number 10 is like this. This is from the Das Sekenim, Mibali Atoisus, and this week's Parsha. Also, it's brought in the Perish Kadmoin. Also, the Hagois Maimonis says like this. After the Makos, we have a Machloikes, and how many miracles happened al Hayam? Right? Look at number 28. Rabbi Yossi Aglili makes the following cheshbon. How many Makos were in Mitzrayim? 10. And the Makos in Mitzrayim were with what? Ezba. And al Hayam was with what? The Yad. So if with an Ezba is 10, then on the Yam it must be 50. And then Rabbi Lezer says, no, because every Makkah in Mitzrayim was 4. So if in Mitzrayim it was 40, then on the Yam it was 200. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, every Makkah was 5. So if Mitzrayim was 50, Al Yam was 250. Let's add up all the Makkos in on the Yam. So if you add up all the Makkos, so you have 50 according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. You have 200 according to Rabbi Lazar. You have 250 according to Rabbi Kiva. 500. The gematria of the Tzach Adash B'Achav is 500. This answer to Kashav. Why does the Braisa say Rabbi Yehuda Hayonois in Simonim? He's only giving one Simon. The Tzach Adash B'Achav. Why Simonim? No, it's two Simonim. It's one Simon for the Makos and Mitzrayim. The Tzach Hadash B'Achav. Another Simon is, it's a Simon that even though there's a Machloikis 50, 200, 250, but Elu, Divrei Elokim Chayim, and it was really 500, and the Simon is the Gematria of the Tzach Hadash B'Achav is 500. Again, this is not a Torah, this is Rishonim. This is Perish Kadmoin, Hagois Maimonis. In fact, the Hagois Maimonis brings down that after they cross the Yam, Hashem promises, Kol Machala, Asher Samti B'Mitzrayim, Asher is Gematria 501, meaning all the things I put on the Mitzrayim, which is 501, I'm not going to put on you. Here's the problem. We just said, what is the Gematria of the Tzach Hadash B'Achav? If you count it up, it's 501. But there are only 500 Makos. This is a raya in the Torah that when it comes to gematria, you can be off by one. This is a raya. This is the raya. You can be off by one. We actually gave a shir last year from Rabbi Yosef Engel. What's the makar? You can be off by one. Rabbi Yosef Engel had like 25 makaros. Not this one. This might be one of the best ones. This is a makar from the Rishonim in the Chumash from Rabbi Huda that the demonic the Tzach Hadash B'Achav is 501 and it's a remnant to the 500 makaros. So the Tosfos Rid says, look at number 32, V'gematria lo'kapdinon al achas yasar echoser. We're not makbid in gematrias, you know, if you could be off by one. If you're learning in Koila, you could be off by one. Okay, so, by the way, the Perish Kadmon brings over here that no, they're not off by one. It's 500, and the plus the one is the Etzba. It all comes back to the Etzba. So, okay, that's number 10. Number 11. Number 11 is like this. Why did Rabbi Yehuda give simanim? Rabbi Yehuda wants you to remember something. You know, whenever there's a simon, you have to remember something. So you're reading the Haggadah, and you're reading, oh, well, you know, 3,000 years ago, there was a nice story. All the showers turned into blood, and Paro was eating a birthday cake, and there was a frog that popped out, and the octopus came and used the suction cup on its tentacles to suck out the lock, and the polar bear bashed into the room. That's what the Medrash says. A very nice story. It happened a long time ago. And then you hit the sack and, you know, Shalom Aleich Nash, what's it got to do with me? But the Medrash says, the Masei Avos Simen Labanim. The Ribbono Shel Olam only brought these miracles in Mitzrayim as a pre-enactment to the way he's going to punish the Umos HaOlam before Mashiach comes. Mitzrayim was just Ki Meitzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Arenu Neflois. All these makas will repeat themselves. So Rabbi Yehuda is giving a simen. He's giving us a simen. Don't forget. Don't forget. This is not a one-time occurrence. The Tzach Hadash B'Achav. Remember. Why do I have to remember it? Because it's going to happen again, says the Rashbats to Edom. To Edom. This is something Rabbeinu Bechaye writes in many, many Mekoymos. All the events of Yitzias Mitzrayim will repeat themselves. So I believe that told us Aaron Rebbe asked, what do you mean by Makas Becharis? It says, there never will be a Maka like this. So he says, the Makas Becharis is not going to repeat themselves. So he says, that's right. Because when it comes to the Achris Hayamim, it's not going to be a Makas Becharis. They're all going down. It's not going to be Becharis. They're all going down. Anyway, that's the 11th approach in the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda of the Tzach Hadash B'Yachav. Okay, Rabbi Isai, here we go. Next approach. The next approach, number 12. Number 12 comes from an amazing sefer, Pesach Doiros, of Rabbi Yitzchak Alachdav. When did we leave Mitzrayim? In what month? In Nisan. And how many makos were there? 10. And how long did the maka last? A week, and then 3 weeks of warning. So basically every month there was another maka, yeah? So then what month did the maka start in? Tammuz, right? Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves, Shvat, Adar, Nisan. So he makes, now we know there are 4 seasons. There's the season of Tammuz, that's the summer. The season of Tishrei is the fall. There's Teves, is the winter. And there's Nisan, which is the spring. So Tammuz began Makas Dam. Listen to this. Tammuz began Makas Dam. And that he says that's very mistaber, because in the month of Tammuz, the kings go out to check on the rivers, to see the flow of the rivers, and that's why Pare went out to check on the river, and it turned into blood. And then in the month of Av was Tzaradeya, and the month of Elul was Kinam. That's Tekufas Tammuz. So Yehuda is giving a simon. Tzach. Tekufas Tammuz was Tzach. And then the month of Tishrei, this is unbelievable. When did we stop working for Pare Mitzrayim? When were we off the hook? When did the Avodah stop? The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, the Avodah for Paray stopped in Tishrei on Rosh Hashanah, right? On Rosh Hashanah, but La Avodah b'Mitzrayim. Why in Tishrei? Because what Makkah was in Tishrei? Arayv. Arayv was the first Makkah that the Mitzrayim saw that it wasn't for us and it was for them. Ah, so finally it registered in Paray's mind that the Ribbono Shel Olam was orchestrating things. Finally, we got off the hook, especially in the month of Elul was Kinim. In Kinim, they said Etzba Elokim. So in conjunction with the fact that in Elul, they said Etzba Elokim. And in Tishrei, there was the first Hafla, the first differentiation. So that's why, but la Avodah b'Mitzrayim. We say it in tomorrow's Yom, right? How do we know the Avodah stopped in Mitzrayim in Tishrei? The Gemara Rosh Hashanah Darshans. We're going to say it tomorrow morning. Tiku b'Chodesh Shofar. Bahasi Roisi Sevel Shichma. Ribbono Shel Olam removed our burden in the month of Tishrei after Makos Arayv. Cheshvan was Dever. Kislev was Shchin. And that's Adash. Then begins the winter. Teves. Now things are starting to grow from the rainy season in the Middle East. The Barad hit in the month of Teves. Arben Shvat. And what was in the month of Adar? Choshech. But Choshech for who? For the Mitzrayim. But for Klal Yisrael, it says, Levnei Yisrael, Hoysa Or B'moish Voysam. Oh, if for the Umayisraelim it was dark, and for Klal Yisrael it was Oira, La Yehudim Hoysa Oira. I realized La Yehudim Hoysa Oira was a month of Adar. From here, Chazal see that if you have a court case with a guy, the best time to do it, it's dark for them and it's light for us, is the month of Adar, because Makas Choshech was in the month of Adar, and of course, Makas Becharis was in the month of Nisan. The Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda was that they were seasonal, Tkufas Tammuz, Tkufas Tishrei, and Tkufas Teves.
Does that mean the Mitzvah only understood by Arav?
Right.
Not for the Yidin. Yidin suffer from the Tzav?
So I think it means like this, that in Goshen, if a Mitzvah took a shower, it turned to blood. But if a Jew took a shower, it didn't turn to blood. But the Makkah was in Goshen. Whichever Egyptians lived in Goshen were affected by Dam. But Arav already, it's not, if you're gonna be a Jew living in Goshen, and there's gonna be a polar bear walking next to you, scaring the Egyptian, it's not gonna be comfortable for you. So Arav was the first time that there was nothing in Goshen. In other words, the other Makos hit the Egyptians in Goshen. Arav was out of Goshen completely. That's what many Rishonim say. Okay. Number 13. Rabbi Yehuda Hayanoisim Siman says Ashla Akadosh. Why do I need Rabbi Yehuda Siman? So he says something very interesting. We know already from Makas Bechayrois that the Jewish people themselves had to watch out for Makas Bechayrois. Hashem said, stay indoors, don't go out, you know, Kivan She Niten Rishus Lamashchis Shuvein Mavchin Bein Sadik LaRasha. So there's a concept that really all the Mak, once Rabbi Hashem brings Makos, so then, you know, it's fair game. The Malach HaMavis is out, the Midas HaDin is out. So really, you know, speaking about Midas HaDin, Chassam Sofer has an incredible cheshbon. I think we threw it out on Shabbos. Each Makkah lasted how long? 7 days. And Makas Zecharias was 1 day. So 7 times 9 is 63, plus 1 day of Makkah is 64. So the Makkahs were 64 days, Gematria Din. The Makkahs were Midas HaDin, Chassam Sofer says. So whenever there's Din, you know, Din doesn't differentiate. So how did Hashem protect Klal Yisrael? Hashem can't just remove the dam. Hashem made it, mitigated the dam, that the dam would affect us in a different way. That's why Pari says, watch out, don't go into the Midbar. Re'u ki ra neged p'neichem, I see dam against you in the Midbar. And the Rebbe Hashem mitigated it to what dam? To dam milah. That's dam. What about Arav? If you look in Sefer Devarim, Hashem says, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, watch out, don't chase out the goyim immediately, you know, very quickly, do it slowly, slowly. The Pasuk says, Pentir ba'alecha chayas hasada. So the Arav went to, in a very mitigated form, that we can't chase out the goyim quickly from Eretz Yisrael. And what about Barad? Barad also, in times of Shmuel, there was a plague in Eretz Yisrael of Barad. So says the Shla, if you take the Dalid of the Tzach, and the Ayin of Arav, and the Beis of Ba'achab, this demonstrated that the Makos that were supposed to come on Klal Yisrael, the Rebbe Hashem was able to mitigate that it should befall us in a lesser sense. So the Dam was Dam Mila, and the Arav was the Arav not to chase out the Goyim quickly, and the Barad was in the times of Shmuel. So he was giving a simon. He's saying, Klal Yisrael, look how the Rebbe Hashem protected you. You see clearly how the dam was mitigated. You see clearly how the aroif was mitigated. You see clearly how the barod was mitigated. And from there, you could extrapolate that the Rebbe Hashem saved you from all the makos, and somehow he was able to channel them in a lesser sense to be able to protect you. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda according to the Shlach HaKadosh. And then finally, number 14. Now, so realize, there are 14 pshatim. Just, you know, there are much more. We're just getting, you know, 14. What?
You have a mnemonic for the 14?
The mnemonic for the 14. Yeah. No, I don't, unfortunately. The mnemonic is the Tzach. In the Sefer Magid Dvar of Yaakov, of Rabbi Yisrael al-Ghazi, he says also, very interesting, he says, there's a machloikas Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, how to view the makos. The Tanakama holds, I'll just give you a quick mashal, that the makos were in pairs of two, For example, what was the purpose of Dam? The Mitzrim locked up the mikvahs so that Yidden could not go to be paravarava. And the Medrash says that Tzfardeya were Masaris, the Mitzrim, so the Mitzrim couldn't be paravarava. So you see, Dam and Tzfardeya were like a tag team. So Tanakama holds, Dam Tzfardeya was a tag team because they attacked us, Be'inyan Puravu. Kinava Aroiv was a tag team for a certain Inyan. And the Rebbe Yehuda holds, no, Dam Tzfardeya Kinim was a tag team because, you know, Kinim, Al Pi Halacha, do not reproduce. Right? Spontaneous generation. Even though we know today scientifically lice do reproduce. But the pshat is, since you can't see it with the naked eye, it's not considered halachic reproduction. So there is a medrash that says the kinim was also to punish the mitzrim that they interfered with puravu. But be it as it may, this is another way to understand Rabbi Huda saying, don't view the makos as tag team Dan Tzfardeya, tag team kinim arad, tag team two and two and two, but rather it was like a three-pronged retribution. That's how Rabbi Huda learns. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, let's...
What did it's fine enough to do the period earlier?
There's a medrash that says that Tzfardeya were Masaris, the Mitzrim, and they took care of them.
Yeah?
Okay. Weiter. Now let's be Ma'ayin. Ripsender, yeah? We're Weiter?
Yes.
Okay. The Belzer Rebbe says like this. You know, you look at the words, the Tzach Hadash Bi'achav. You know, the tzach. What in the world does the tzach mean? It's not a Hebrew word. The only word here that has any meaning is the word adash. What's an adash? A bean, right? It always starts with a bean. The bean is the key for all hatzlacha, right? Cholent. Adash. So adash refers, what happened Pesach time? You know, Chazal say, don't eat matzah erev Pesach. If you eat matzah erev Pesach, it's like ba al nara murasa bebeis chametz. Why? So there's a Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim says, when did Yaakov buy the Bechaira? He bought it from Esav on Erev Pesach, or Pesach. He gave what? Adoshim. What did Esav do that day? He was Baal Na'amurasa. So if a person prematurely eats matzah on Erev Pesach, then you're acting like Esav who chapped the beans because he was so oye from being Baal Na'amurasa. That's the Prima Gadim in Echos Pesach. So we see from here that the night of Pesach, we're very focused on what we achieved on Pesach. What did we achieve on Pesach? We stole the birthright. And also we got the brachas. What bracha did we get from Yitzchak the night of Pesach? The Yitain Lecha Elokim Mital HaShamayim. The Zohar says, Yitzchak tells Esav, go out and catch me a good catch. Tonight the gateways of heaven are open. You can get the best bracha in the world tonight. That's why on Pesach we daven for Tal, because the first bracha of Tal was given to Yaakov Avinu on Pesach. Yaakov got the brachas on Pesach, and he got the Bechor on Erev Pesach. So, Ditzach, rejoice, Adash, because of the beans that we used to buy the birthright. Be'achav, the Belzer Rebbe says, Ba'chav, Esav, your end has come. Okay, that is the pshat of the Belzer Rebbe. But many of the Darshanim, Chassam Sofer, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Rabbi Anasin Eibeshitz, they all learn very similarly that the Tzach Adash B'Achav is a limud in life in general, is an attitude to have in life in general. What's the attitude? The attitude is like this. Life is not easy. It's not an easy world. Person has challenges. Person has hurdles. They're curveballs. Just when you think life is peaceful, the Ibn Hashem says, you know, Adam la'amol yulad. You know, you're going to have challenges. I'm going to want you to cry out to me. I'm going to test you. So how does a person react? How does a person soivel olam hazeh? The first thing is ditzach. Ditzach is a lashon of ditza, simcha. You should be bisimcha. Doesn't matter what the Ibn Hashem brings your way. That's ditzach, lashon of ditza. Chassam Sofer says it's a lashon of ditza. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden says it's a lashon of ditza, and Rabbi Anasin Eibeshit says it's a lashon of ditza. You know what you should do? The next thing is adash, be a bean. What do we know about a bean? We feed a bean to an avel. Why do we feed a bean to an avel? Because an avel can't greet anyone. He's not going to talk, right? So an adash, a lentil, has no peh. Keep your mouth closed. Don't complain. The Ibn Hashem sends you a challenge. Don't say, Who am I? Ribbono Shel Olam, do you know who I am? Why are you sending? Give, send it to Yenam. He deserves it more. I don't deserve such a thing. I'm not Roy for such a thing. Challenge somebody not as good as me. No, Adash, don't complain. Don't say you don't deserve it. Don't be misraim on the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But rather, be achav. Be achav is a lashon of ahava, because the ches and the hey are interchangeable. Rav Yaakov Emden says, be achav is ahava. Be mekabelit be ahava. If a person lives besimcha, and then when challenges are thrown their way, they're soivelet. They don't complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they're mekabelit be ahava. But more than that, be ahava. You know what be achav stands for, says the Chassam Sofer. Boyu el chatzei roisov besehila. You come to shul and you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you sing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have difficulties in life, Adash. Everyone has difficulties. People look at somebody and think, oh, everything's wonderful. Nobody knows what anybody else goes through. So the limud in life is, Ditsa, rejoice, rejoice. Adash, like a bean, keep your mouth closed. Bi'ahava, bi'ahava. So bi'ahava, bi'achav is bi'ahava. Biachav is boyu el chatzeroisa v'sila. And how do you come to the madrega where even when things are challenging, you can be mekabel besimcha? That's the next namanuk. Achav kel chai bekirbenu. You think the Ribbono Shel Olam sends it to you? The Ribbono Shel Olam is the tsar with you. He's together with you. He feels your pain. Not only does he feel your pain, it's his pain as well. When a person is able to be rejoiced with their lot in life, and not to complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and be mekabel be'ahava, and come to shul boyu el chatzei roisav b'sila, and feel that, says the Chassam Sofer, another nemanuk, ashrei choisei boy, achav, fortunate are those who trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kel chai bekerbenu, because you feel that the Ribbono Shel Olam is together with us in our time of difficulty. This is the great limud of the Tzach Hadash Mi'achav. Let's just end with the following. This is a pshat which is oyoyim v'noira. The Medrash says, and this is a new pshat in Rabbi Yehuda HaYanois in Simonim, but the Mate Levi says that we just have to change one word, a word has to be added. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, not Rabbi Yehuda HaYanois in Bahem Simonim, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Noisein Bahem Simonim. Who gave Simonim? Not Rabbi Yehuda HaYanois in Bahem Simonim, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Noisein Bahem Simonim, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Simonim. You said this from the beginning. We didn't expect anything less from you, you know? The Mate Levi says, the Mate Levi says like this. The Medrash tells us, look at number 41. It says, Hamasois hagedoilois asharo'u einecha, the great wonders that your eyes saw. What does this mean? V'ha'oisois rabbanon amri shahayu nershamois al gufehen. The Ribbono Shel Olam wrote on the bodies of the Egyptians. Dam, tzvardeya, kinim. Not only did Hashem make blood, not only did Hashem make tzvardeya, not only make it. He wrote, he took a pen, he pulled it out, he wrote dam, tzvardeya, he wrote it on the mitzvah. Says the Mate Levi, the pshat in the Rabbi Yehuda is not Rabbi Yehuda gave simanim. Rabbi Yehuda oimer. Rabbi Yehuda says noisin bahem simanim. The Ribbono Shel Olam put simanim on the mitzrim. And finally, we have the pshat Rabbi Yonis and Eibeshitz. And I decided to save it maybe for Shabbos Hagadol. I think 42 Mar Mekoymos should keep you busy, and you got to save me something, you know, for upcoming events. So I think a very important limud we learn is here you have a Tana Rabbi Yehuda, and we have dozen or more pshatim in the Rishon and what Rabbi Yehuda meant. What did Rabbi Yehuda mean? He probably meant all of them and more. You know, how every word in Torah is laden with layers and layers of perushim and mefarshim, and the Tana, in his great mind, was able to incorporate all of these meanings in these short words. Meanings in halacha, meanings in what happened, meanings in hashkafa, meanings in musar, just in the three words, the tzach hadash v'chav. Rabbi, thanks for coming. Have a good night.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.